I got to get used to turning around and them not being there. So that's about. Wow, where did Barbara go? Man, Barbara, beautiful today. I was told, yeah, it's okay to clap for that, yeah. I was told that that was a beautiful piece. My goodness, I'd never heard that. Just gorgeous. Well, welcome. We're glad you're here today, and I want to add my welcome to our Facebook folks and to all who are worshiping here in the sanctuary at Cokesbury Church. We're glad you're worshiping. As I've said once or twice before, and I will continue to remind myself and you, you could be anywhere, but you're here, which means you are here to worship God. And so in that spirit, let us prepare to do that. I want to say a word of thanks also, a praise to God, actually. This week, Chuck Christian had surgery, and it came out successfully. And Ed Dollahite, yeah. And Ed Dollahite had surgery, and it came out successfully. And so, yeah, it's all wonderful answers to prayer, and I know they would appreciate our continued prayers. Our scripture reading from today comes from the Old Testament. If you have your Bible, we're going to be reading from the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40 is a rich chapter in the Bible. You ought to really get familiar with Isaiah 40. Isaiah, the entire book is rich, but I encourage you to get familiar with Isaiah 40. Today we're going to be reading from Isaiah 40, verses 6 through 8. We're reading from the authority of God, the Word of God, so I invite you to stand as we read from His holy Word. A voice says, "Cry out." And I say, "What shall I cry?" All people are grass. Their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. I heard a great sermon title the other day. In fact, the sermon title was actually better than the sermon. The sermon was actually kind of mediocre. I'm really tough on preachers. I want to be tough on me. But the sermon was kind of mediocre, but the title, man, I loved it. And maybe you can relate to it. Let me share the title of the sermon with you. The title was and is, "Wanting a Norman Rockwell and Getting a Picasso." Wanting a Norman Rockwell and getting a Picasso. Any of you in here remember the Norman Rockwell, all that? Great, great artist who for years did the cover on a weekly basis for the Saturday Evening Post and so forth. Norman Rockwell portrayed real people in real life situations, and he portrayed good people. The people Norman Rockwell told about in the world he drew were good and solid, and the people were honest and kind, and they were civil. That was Norman Rockwell. Picasso, on the other hand, if you know anything about Picasso's paintings, you know you cannot make sense of his paintings. It goes this way and it goes that way. It has a lot of color. You might find an arm over here and a nose over there, and the rest of the head is... It's just crazy, some of the stuff that Picasso painted. In my mind, okay, this is just my uninformed, uneducated in art mind, it's disturbing. And it's hard to comprehend. Speaking for me, I would rather have a Norman Rockwell world. I would rather have a Norman Rockwell world, a world of good people, a world of honest people. I would rather personally have a world that's understandable and makes sense. But I find myself in a Picasso world. a world of confusion, a world that is disturbing, a world that doesn't make sense. All you have to do is look around. Come out from any rock you may have at any point been under and see what's going on. Pay attention to the news. Listen to people. And you realize that you and I live in a broken world. But as we read the Bible, we discover a very interesting thing. We discover that to some degree, it's always been that kind of world. We have a tendency to look back and remember the simpler ways and the simpler days. You remember the good old days. We have a tendency to want to look back and say things were so much better then. But the truth is, there's always been an element of disturbance in this world, hasn't there? Now, that reality has certainly been exacerbated in the last several years, I think. I think you would agree with me that the volume has been turned up on the incivility. The volume has been turned up on the anger and the craziness. And again, it's because the world in which you and I live, to use the words of the John Steinbeck novel, the world you and I live in is east of Eden. We live in a broken world, a world that has sin in it. And the Bible makes that very, very clear. You cannot read that book without realizing that it realizes the world itself. The passage for today says, human beings are like grass. Here today, gone tomorrow. Grass withers, flowers fade. You and I live in a fragile world. I know I'm drilling down on this, and I know I'm making a deal out of this, but the reality is, well, we know. And so, if that's the question, if it's true that you and I live in a world that's east of Eden and in a world that's broken, the question becomes, how can I make today count in the world in which I live? Because how many of us really realize you're not promised anything? Life can change like that. Because the world is going to be what the world's going to be, but you have total and complete control over how you respond to stuff. If I could get any message across to people, it would be simply this. You can't control stuff, but you can control you. And you can control how you let stuff get to you. That's very, very important for us. So the question is, how do we make today count? How do we make today count? One of my favorite movies of all time is a movie, it's been around a long time actually, is a movie entitled Dead Poets Society. Anybody familiar with Dead Poets Society? If you've never seen it, find it. Watch it. It stars the late Robin Williams as Professor Keating. And his purpose is to take a ragtag group of young men and teach them about living life with passion and purpose, the Dead Poet Society. And in so doing, he continues to say to them two words. Remember what those words are? Carpe diem. Seize the day. And that's what I want to talk about today. Because I think that's what Holy Scripture is talking about. How do I stop counting my days and start making my days count? How do I stop waiting for the end to come and decide that I'm going to live until the end? I just want to offer up some thoughts about that today, because the reality is we live in a messed up world. The reality is there's some things we can change, there's some things we can't, most things we can't. There's some things that drive us nuts and some things that drive us less nuts. But the reality is we have today. I want to offer up two or three thoughts to you. The first thought I want to offer up to you today is very simple, and I'm almost embarrassed to even say it. Today is all you have. Today is all you have. I know that seems simple. I know it seems trite to say that, but the fact is sometimes we forget that very basic truth. I cannot make yesterday count. I've said to you before, I will say to you again, so many people live life looking over their shoulder. They live life with their rearview mirror being larger than their windshield. We can't make yesterday count. I had that opportunity, and I lost it, or I made it count. I can't even make tomorrow count. That's not here yet. I hope to have that chance, but I can't promise you that I will. The only day I have to make count is today. The past is gone, the future's uncertain, but as I live throughout the day, I can make the choice to use it well. For years and years, there was a guy by the name of Norman Neaves, and Norman Neaves was the pastor of the Church of the Servant in Oklahoma City. He described going into a florist one day. He was looking for a trellis. He said he walked in and he saw all these different kinds of and colors of flowers. And he said walking in there was just, he said it just was overpowering. And when a salesperson approached him, he said, "Let me ask you a question. I've been told that there's a flower that blooms all year round. Year in and year out, it blooms all year round. Is that true? Would you happen to know what flower that is?" And the salesperson looked at him and said, "Sir, did you read that somewhere? Did you see that on television?" And Norman Neaves said, "I can't remember how, or I just heard that there was a flower that blooms continuously." And she looked at him and she said, "Sir, I've been in this business for 32 years and I've never heard of such a thing. As far as I know, no flower blooms forever. You've just got to enjoy them when they do." Get that. No flower blooms forever. You've just got to enjoy them when they do. That's a message for me. And that's a message for you. That's a message for our world. No flower blooms forever. You've got to enjoy them when they do. Now we understand that to some degree, I think, especially about our children, especially when they're young. Our youngest has just started his senior year. That's cool and terrifying. Holy mackerel. Do you remember when they were just like this? Do you remember? I remember I would work all day, and Matthew was like two or something like that. I'd work all day, and I would come home, and I'd be dead tired. And I'd walk through the door, and I'd see these little arms coming at me, and he didn't know how to say daddy. He said, "Catty, catty, catty." And we had this little thing where we would do like a little walk. We'd take a little walk. He'd say, "Walk, walk, 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 walk." And that meant take a walk. And so he would take his whole hand and put it around my finger. Special memories. No flower blooms forever, but you've got to enjoy them when they do. I want you to hear that this morning. Today is all you really have, and we need to be reminded to live it to its fullest because it will soon be gone, and we cannot, therefore, spend so much time worrying about the future. I know people, and I suspect you do too, who live the totality of their life waiting on something to happen before they're happy. When this happens, then I'll be happy. When this takes place, then I'll be content. In the meantime, life passes you by. And you wake up and you realize so much is gone. Today is a gift from God. It's the only day we have. It's like a flower. It's beautiful, then it's gone. So we need to use it wisely. You know what that means? That means you need to make something right between you and another person. Now. That means that you need to say, I'm sorry. Because at the end of the day, it's not about who's right. It's about what's right. Today, is there something in your life that you need to make better? Stop kicking the can down the road. Stop waiting. Is there someone you need to speak to? Is there a relationship that needs to be healed? Is there something today? Here's the second truth I want to lift up to you. Today, we have a choice. Not only is this the only day we have, but today you and I have a choice. Now, we don't always have a choice about the circumstances of our lives, but we do have a choice about the attitude with which we face those circumstances. I know people who have one of two attitudes. Basically, it seems like everybody has one of two attitudes. There's some people who wake up in the morning and they say, "Good morning, Lord." And there are other people who wake up in the morning and say, "Good Lord, morning." You have no control over so much, but you have complete control over how it impacts you. Some anonymous person wrote a little poem called Tomorrow, and I've asked that it be put up here behind me. I want to share a few lines of the little piece called Tomorrow. He was going to be all that a person should be tomorrow. No one would be kinder or braver than he tomorrow. A friend who was troubled and weary, he knew, who'd be glad for a lift and needed it too. Upon him he would call and see what he could do tomorrow. Each morning he stacked up the letters he'd write tomorrow and thought of the folks he would fill with delight tomorrow. It was too bad indeed he was busy today. He hadn't a minute to stop on his way, or he'd had time to give others, he'd say, tomorrow. The greatest of workers this man might have been tomorrow. The world would have surely known him had he ever seen tomorrow. But the fact is, he died and faded from view, and all that was left when his living was through was a mountain of things he intended to do tomorrow. Today is a gift from God. It is like a beautiful flower, then it's gone. So we need to use it wisely, make something right, do those kinds of things. You have a choice about that. But you've heard me say once or twice already, you make your choices and your choices will make you. And when everything is said and done, the softest pillow in the world is the pillow with no regrets. You have a choice. What are you going to do? How are you going to spend it? I did a service of celebration of life Friday for Don Gage. Don Gage is Betty Gage's husband. And they have a part in the service where people get to stand and talk about the family member, you know? And I get to sit there and listen. And his oldest son, Don Jr., said, "There are a lot of things about my dad, but the truth is, he wrote his eulogy every day of his life." You think about that. He wrote his eulogy. He wrote the story of his life by how he lived day in and day out. I just want to gently nudge you and gently remind you that you are writing the story of you. And as my dad used to say, live your life in such a way that one day some preacher won't have to stand and lie about how you lived. Yeah. Make smart choices today. I was meeting with a group of people this past week, and we were talking about how Christ develops our character. And we were talking about how you and I have a choice about how we face what life gives us. But always remember this: crisis will always reveal character. Crisis and difficulty will always reveal the true person you are. Don't make your determination about a person's character based on their best day. Make your determination based on how they handle the heat. Make your determination about a person's life based on how they handle pain, or what St. John of the Cross called the dark night of the soul. Crisis will always reveal character. Or another way to say it is, character is revealed in the crucible of crisis. Today is the only day you have. You have some choices about today. Make wise choices. Here's the last thing I want to say, and it's really what I want you to hear most of all today. You cannot trust what you see around you. It changes. So trust the God who endures forever, and God will give you the strength you need. I have a message, the passage says. What is the message you want proclaimed? Isaiah asked. Proclaim that the grass withers and the flowers fade, but our God, who gives His word to us, is forever. The Bible wants us to know that with everything we're facing, everything we have faced, everything we will face, God will remain our solid rock. And you and I can take the hand of the God who is our rock and find hope and help in Him. The old hymn says, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness." Here's the deal. There will be some things that happen to you in this life that will bring you to your knees. You think you can handle stuff, but then something will happen that will bring you to your blessed knees. And it's then, unfortunately, I'm sad to say, it's then too often people realize that all they have left is God. But it's good when you realize that God is all you have left, and then you realize God is all you need. God is all you need. The Bible uses strange language in different places, but there are some places that it is abundantly clear, and there is this great line in the 23rd Psalm that says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of," you name it. And you do realize death can come in lots of ways, right? What happens when that happens? It's okay to go along. Life is good. You can skip along and skip along like a rock going across the water. And then suddenly something will happen that will bring you to your knees. I was watching a documentary not long ago. I watch more documentaries than I probably should. But I was watching a documentary on the life of Muhammad Ali. You remember Muhammad Ali? Remember? And if you remember anything about Muhammad Ali, you know that he was the heavyweight boxing champion of the world at one time. You also may remember that he was a very arrogant guy. At least that was his persona. He'd always been confident, but boy, when Time magazine named him the most famous person in the world, his ego went off the charts. It's said that Ali was once on an airplane, and the airplane was taken off, first class section, of course. And it was taxiing toward the runway, and a flight attendant passed by his seat and said to him, "Mr. Ali, sir, you need to fasten your seatbelt." And with that typical bravado, Ali said, "Superman don't need no seatbelt." And she looked at him and she said, "Sir, Superman don't need no airplane either." Have you discovered that you're not Superman? Have you discovered that you're not Wonder Woman? Have you discovered that there are things that life throws you that are like a gut punch to you? The Bible wants to remind us that there is an absolute unpredictability about life. But one thing that is predictable is that change will come. And so today, as we look at the world around us, I simply want to remind you, you've got today only. Do what you need to do to make right what you need to make right. Today, you have a choice. Make a smart choice about today. And remember, character will be revealed in the crucible of crisis. But above everything else, hold the hand of the one who will walk you through it all, because there'll be some times that you can't. You've heard the old poem, Footprints in the Sand. You remember that old poem? I'm not going to repeat that to you, but I just wonder, are there any folks in the room who have been carried by God through something? Is there anyone in the room who realizes that when there are only one set of footprints in the sand, it's then that God's carrying you? I've just come today to remind you, He still carries people. And He will you if you'll let Him.